Take our Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse number 16, 17, and 18. And 19, the Bible says this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, if anybody wants to know what the will of God is, well, you got it right here. This is the will of God. It's an exhortation that thankfulness is a Christian's essential. That this final exhortation, in light of the day of the Lord coming, and the man of sin being revealed, that the individual members of the church, the body of Christ, is to be aware of areas that should never be overlooked or never be neglected. And here they are right here, three pleasant imperatives. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, are set in the context of permanent and personal duties of God's people. And here are the precepts that should be carried out by God's people all the time. They're found right here. In fact, probably this is the way Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, describing how it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. This is spirit-filling language in this passage, that the Lord loves to see those who serve in His church maintain a cheerful heart, along with a prayerful heart, along with a thankful heart. All three are God's will, for it says in verse 18, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One of the old divines wrote it like this, when joy and prayer are married, their firstborn child is gratitude. In everything, give thanks. So, of course, this morning in this season, the reason why I decided not to go to Acts, the next passage, but stay here, is to preach on thankfulness, to preach on this exhortation, because it is so important for every one of us to get a hold of this and a grasp of it in our life. Now, the command for us today is, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. The Greek term for thanks is really the word Eucharist. It means very clearly and simply, thank, give thanks, be thankful, or be grateful. This passage is telling us what we are to do. In everything, give thanks. Now, it seems like a very easy command to follow. In fact, we sang about it this morning. Several songs had this expression in it, being thankful. We lift up our voices to praise the Lord. And be thankful, we engage in that way. It seems like an easy command to follow, and I am sure if I were to personally ask you this morning, are you thankful, you would reply to me, of course I'm thankful, Pastor. With me at this phrase, in verse number 18, in everything, give thanks. Now, if I rephrase the question and ask you, have you honestly given thanks to God in everything? What if I were to ask you, have you given heartfelt thanks to God for your poor health? Or for your unrewarding job? Or for your lack of work? For your less than ideal marriage? or for your ongoing family struggle, or for your unstable financial situation, or for not having your prayer answered just quite the way you wanted it, or for your unfulfilled and unreached dreams and goals, for your broken relationships and your difficult relationships, for lost opportunities, for personal infirmities, and so on and so forth. You get the point. See, do we thank God on that level? Are we thankful for everything on that level? See, what level of maturity are you actually practicing thankfulness? It's easy to thank the Lord when your health is good, when there's abundance of food, when you have a secure and rewarding job. That's easy to do. I don't have to remind you to do that. Matter of fact, you probably always will, in some ways, thank the Lord for those things. Even then, some people don't give thanks. James Kennedy wrote, "The slide from godlessness into wickedness begins with ingratitude. It is the beginning of a life of sin in the heart of any person. It is indeed the very worst of vices," end quote, James Kennedy, late James Kennedy, great soul, great man of God. Romans chapter 1, I want you to turn to Romans, keep your hands there in Thessalonians. I'm going to go to several verses this morning, because you'll find all over the Word of God, this whole thing, this whole point, the point of thanksgiving is everywhere. But I want you to notice in this passage in Romans 1, 21 and 22, notice the downward progression after they had failed to give thanks to the God who created the heaven and the earth. In Romans 1, verse 21, even though you knew God, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. You see that? But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So the downward progression of not honoring God and not being thankful to the Creator God led them down this spiral of sin to a foolish and, of course, an unrewarding type of lifestyle. There was once a famous painting that depicted this kind of subject, the subject of ingratitude. It shows a huge statue, and inscribed at the base of the statue was simply ingratitude. Surrounding this gigantic statue are men and women throwing stones at it. And yet, if you look carefully at the picture, the painting, you will notice that in each of the person's hands is cradled a tiny replica of the statue marked with ingratitude. And so the lesson, of course, being that though each of us detests ingratitude in general, in principle, in people, there's an element of ingratitude in every one of us. Especially when it comes to thanking God for the bad things. Thanking God for those things that are less than favorable. I found a little story that I thought went well. It was written in the 60s. It was a little article, blurb, written by L.E. Maxwell. And it's called The Rotten Establishment, having to do with ingratitude. And this is what it says. It says, as the hippie couple strolled down the street, the fellow said to his traveling companion, "I am going over to pick up my unemployment check. Then I'll drop in at the university and see what's holding up my check for my financial aid. After that, I'll go and pick up my food stamps. And meanwhile, you go over and see what's going on in the free clinic, and if my tests and my glasses are ready, And then after about 5 o'clock, we'll meet at in front of a government building, and we will protest this rotten establishment. See, people are using all the programs, and at the same time, they have a great there's ungratefulness in them. Young children and children are in families, and they are not grateful for their families. They're not grateful for what they have. See, on the other hand, the truly grateful person is a godly person. Godliness and gratitude go hand in glove. And that thankfulness is the most excellent sign of being filled with the Spirit, maybe than anything. And you'll find that again in your Bibles. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. And again, in verse 18, 19, and 20, but look at verse number 20 of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, don't get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And notice verse 20, again, always giving thanks for all things. Where? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. See that this specific kind of thanksgiving is a heartfelt gratitude directed at the Godhead. That is your audience when you're being thankful. And so the Ephesians is bringing that out. It is the most excellent sign of being filled with the Spirit. What is that excellent sign? Always giving thanks for all things, good and bad, as we want to define them. Now, just looking at this passage of Scripture, you'll find out here in this verse number 19, speaking to one another and psalms and spiritual songs and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So if we were to just try to think of and define thankfulness from this passage of Scripture, especially concerning the heart, we would have to say, first of all, thankfulness is a feeling. It is an emotion. It affects the heart. It affects the emotion. The gratitude expressed toward God in body language, in speech, in songs of the heart. In fact, if we were to look up in Webster's Dictionary, I like using Webster's Dictionary when I look up things that are theological and biblical and spiritual, because Webster was a very strong Christian, and his definitions often reflect, at least include, what a biblical definition of the word would mean. So Webster says that the word gratis, or the word thankfulness, means, is defined as really a feeling of thankful appreciation for favors or benefits received, whether positive or negative. Of course, the other side of thankfulness is indifference, ingratitude, thanklessness. A gratitude toward God for His mercy. God not giving us what we deserve because He has pity on us. What do we deserve? We deserve hell, right? We're all heading there. And God has put His mercy upon us and was merciful to us as sinners, for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and He has rescued us. That is a feeling given to us to thank God for all He does to us and for us, and we are bound to show this kind of gratitude by our actions, by our speech, by the songs we sing, by the body language we display before our Lord, and even bowing to Him. It's understanding, really. It is understanding. When Joseph was sold into slavery, his brothers meant it for evil, but in Psalm 50:20, he said this, I understand that God meant it for good. All the evil that befell me, God meant it for good, therefore thanking God. So in thinking of this word thanksgiving, it affects the heart, how we feel. Secondly, It is a duty that affects the will. It says in our text in Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. That is a command. And it's the most acceptable method of giving thanks. That means cheerful obedience. Everyone who serves God must begin to praise God. For the grateful heart is the mainspring, it's the mainspring of obedience. Doing irksome and laborious duty cheerfully. In sickness and pain, taking it patiently with God's help, we are able to praise Him while in trouble and in pain instead of just after it. See, love the God of cause, the God of providence, and do it wholeheartedly. As the psalmist tells us, and listen to what it says in Psalm 86, I will give thanks to you, O my God. With all my heart, I will glorify your name forever. See, the will of man is affected when it comes to thankfulness. I am being cheerfully obedient to God when my will is affected in what I do. It's not just saying I'm thankful. It's actually being thankful. And that means if I'm really thankful when it comes to my will, then in a very real way, I will be cheerful. I will be, in a sense, joyful. Maybe I want to stay away from the word happy. I want to stay more in the realm of being joyful with God, because my thanksgiving is a heartfelt gratitude toward the Godhead. But there's another thing that's affected, and that's my mind. A remembrance has to do with being thankful. I remember the things that God actually does to and for me, and I relate those things to other. I don't want to forget what God has done. It's like when God really does a work in your heart and He does answers prayer in your life, you want to pass that on to somebody. You want to pass it on to your kids. You want to pass it on to your friend. You want to tell other people, listen, this is what God has been doing in my life. Take your Bibles for a minute. Turn to Isaiah chapter 12 and verse number 4. And you'll find there in Isaiah 12, 4, this, and in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, Isaiah 12, 4, and make known His deeds among the peoples, right? And then look what it says, make them remember that His name is exalted. So remembering and thankfulness are often included in the same sentence. Make them remember what God has done. And when you make them remember what God has done and you remember yourself, it kind of issues out in thankfulness. Wow, God has done those things. God is faithful to His word. God will never leave me or forsake me. My salvation is secure. That, listen, I am sealed to the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit of God so that no one could take it away from me and I cannot lose it myself. That issues in my mind, thinking on what God has done and causes me, moves my will, moves my mind, moves my heart to thank God. I can be anywhere when that happens. I could be driving in my car. I could be taking a shower. I could be under in a crawl space putting up duck work. I could be doing anything at all whatsoever. And that remembering comes back to you. And before you know it, you're in your shop. You're in your laundry room. You're in your car. You're in your backyard. You're doing something. And also you begin to praise God because it moves you. You're remembering. In fact, what's interesting is that the word thank in the English language derives from the same word think. It is related to the word thought. In fact, some etymologists, people who like to study words, believe that thank is simply the past tense of think. As, of course, we use drank is the past tense of drink. And if we think, then we will thank. But the problem is that most of us are thoughtless and therefore are thankless. Now, I am not saying that people don't think. I am saying that people do not connect the dots. Seeing and remembering what the Lord is doing to us and for us and upon us. We quote Romans 8:28, right? All the time. All things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Well, if we look at what God is doing to make things work out together for the good, and what his purpose is in the next passage and that passage to conform us to the image of his Son, we will see even through trials and tribulations, we will say this, you know what, that trial, that tribulation, that difficult time I had, that difficult person in my life, that difficult circumstances in my life was there for me to conform me to the image of God, to make me more patient, to make me more long-suffering, to make me more joyful, to get out some sin in my heart. God's wrenching that out of you till the point where you get, on a regular basis, an attitude of being thankful. Why? Because you're thinking about what God has done and what God is doing in your life, in your family, on a regular basis, and you begin to take that pencil and connect the dots. And then before you know it, you know, in those things they give you in the restaurant, before you know, you have a picture. And you say, I know what that is. That's an elephant. Or that's a giraffe. Right? See, you begin to put the dots together, and then time goes by, and you say, ah, now I know what the Lord is teaching me. The Lord wanted to get me to get out of my life generational sins that were passed down from mother to father. And he wanted me to get that out. He wanted me to get alcoholism out of my family, drug abuse out of my family, a bad habit out of my family, a besetting sin out of my life and my family. He was doing that in my life, and he brought these circumstances about for that to happen. It's just like it says in Philippians. Listen, he says this again. I thank my God in all remembrance of you. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying, listen, I'm thanking God for you because I remember what you've done. And I remember what you're doing. Because what you're doing for the Lord benefits me. And so therefore, I have ground to give thanks to God for you. Again, in the psalmist, Psalm 45, verse 17, I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the peoples will give thanks forever and ever. What is that? Passing down in the Word of God what God has done. Right? And what does it do to the people? It causes them to give thanks. See, it affects your heart, what you feel. It affects your will, what you do, and it affects your mind, what and how we think about God in conjunction with our life and our circumstances. In other words, the Lord Jesus permeates our thoughts. And as he permeates our thoughts, it brings us to thankfulness. It causes us to obey the command in Thessalonians. In fact, when you are not thankful, you are actually in a place that you are going to be going down and down and down spiritually. So that's what thankfulness is. What are we to be thankful for? Well, if you look at your Bibles again, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Well, there's several areas we can be thankful. We can be thankful for eternal benefits, and we can also be thankful for temporal benefits. We are probably more thankful for temporal benefits. Often that may be reflected in our prayers before God, but eternal benefits, of course, it includes the new birth. Thankful for so great a salvation God's given you. Thankful for pardon from sin. Thankful for the indwelling Spirit of God. Paul said to the Corinthians, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which is given to you in Christ Jesus. Thanking God for the grace that God extends to people in salvation. But look at this passage in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. I don't think he's talking about from the beginning, chosen from the beginning as the beginning of the church, as some have translated this. I think he's talking about when he uses the word the beginning, in the beginning, when it all started, in the council room of God, when God chose people to salvation. He's giving praise to God for his eternal providence, that he chose people to salvation, and then he brought them and filled them with the Spirit, and now is setting them aside by the Spirit and faith in the truth. The Word of God is now setting them apart, salvation being eternal and sanctification being in time, and then taking us right into perfection when we drop off our bodies and we go to be with the Lord. That is something we need to be thankful for, but he's thanking God for people, for the brethren, for you who are the recipients and the benefits at the benefit end of course, God's grace to you. And then thanking God for his providence. That is both even in the crooks in your life, the hard times in your life, the times in which you, of course, find it hard to thank God for. Lord, I find it hard to thank you for this physical infirmity you've given me. I find it hard to thank you for just dealing with growing old. Is it easy to grow old? It's not easy to grow old. Not in our society, it's not. Because everybody's looking for perfection and beauty, right? All the time. You can never let your guard down there. And so it makes it very difficult sometimes to thank the Lord for certain things. But see, maturity in thankfulness will bring you to the place that you're going to be thankful, thanking God for even the crooks in your life, the bends in the road, the potholes that you go through, not around, in. And when you hit them hard, bam, thanking God when there's fallout. And when there's broken relationships and just seeing what God is doing. Isaiah 25 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give you thanks. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders. Plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. See, Lord, you've worked wonders. Has God worked wonders in your life? Has he done that? But the hard roads that God uses to bring us to the place where we realize he has plans for us. And his plans are perfect. And we would not have chosen some of the things that God allowed in our life. We would never do that. If God were to give us a grocery list and say, check off the things you want to happen in your life, you would never check off certain things, ever. So God doesn't leave that up to us. He leaves that up to his own providence. And what I mean by providence is the day in and day out workings of God in your life. It's a lost doctrine, providence. We don't often think about those things. We usually think in large and long terms, but what about the short-term stuff? What about tomorrow when you wake up and you go down the road and your car breaks down? And you're late for work, an important meeting. And just nothing went right from the day time you got out of bed. Now you can either be taking that as just all coincidence, and it has nothing related to you and your relationship with the Lord, or you can say to yourself, God has allowed these things and even ordered these things. How am I going to respond to them? Where by time I lay my head on my pillow at night, I am full of thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, for my broken car. Thank you, Lord, for me missing that meeting. Because I know in those events, this has happened. This was taking place. And what about thanking God for his word Psalm 138 says this in verse number 2. He says, I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to your name. I will give thanks for your truth. Do you give thanks to the Lord for the word of God? Psalm 119 tells us, at midnight I will rise to give thanks to you, Lord, for your righteous ordinances. Ever find yourself getting up and saying, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you how it molds and shapes my mind. How it transforms me so I can know what your good and acceptable and perfect will is. Thank you, Lord, for your word that shows me who I am so I don't make myself something I ought not to make myself, and I don't push myself down so low and, in a sense, Lord, mess with you what you created in me and my giftedness so I couldn't be used on one end or the other. Pride on one end, pride on the other end. They're both pride. See, thank you, Lord, for your word that opens my mind and sets me free and shows me who you are. So, do you thank God for his word? And do you thank God for people? Not people who are blessings in your life. Well, you want to thank God for those too. But thank God for both soldiers in the foxholes and also those people that God has brought along the way that doesn't make life so pleasant. It was Paul who said in Romans 16, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Giving thanks to God for the soldiers. Nothing like soldiers. Soldier is somebody who doesn't run from the battle. A soldier is somebody who runs, stays in the battle, right? Picks up his gun and shoots at the enemy. Soldiers, people who stay in the foxholes, who put on their spiritual armor and stick. If somebody leaves the battle, they're known as deserters, right? I'm not talking about deserters. We're talking about thanking God here, of course, at this point of people, soldiers in the foxholes. And then in 1 Thessalonians, again, thanking God for people. If you notice in 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and your labor of love and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. He keeps in mind, here's a whole thing about remembering. He's keeping in his mind their circumstances. And of course, these Thessalonians, with their changed lives, trusted and followed Jesus Christ by hard work based on love. They were hard workers that never let loose of the love principle that went along with it. And so what did he thank God for him? He thanked God for three admirable traits he found in the Thessalonians. Their work of faith. Thanks is lifted up for a faith that was shown to be real by evidence visible in the lives of believers. He thanks them for their labor of love, giving thanks in the way divine love is being realized in their self-giving labor. And then, of course, he thanks them for their steadfastness, thanking God because of the church's persistence in the faith in spite of persecutions, in spite of trouble. I mean, to think as a believer that we would never have trouble is a lie from the pit of hell. Trouble is the very thing that will make us Christ-like. We cannot bypass the crosses. We cannot bypass the trouble and the difficulties that we have in our life. So those are some of eternal benefits that we have. The new birth, pardon from sin, the indwelling spirit, the providence of God, the word of God, people themselves. And then we should be thankful, secondly, for temporal benefits, for food. thanking God for food. Matthew 5, verse 36, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, and he broke them and started giving them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Thanking God for your food. Do you thank God for your food? Thanking God for your clothing. Thanking God for your home and your bed and your cars. And your school and your work and for opportunities. And then when you go to work, thanking God when you get there. As Colossians tells us in 3:17, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. In everything you do, in everything your hand touches, giving thanks to God. Why? He's allowed you to do it. He's given you what you need to do your job. He's given you skills and talents and gifts and abilities to do your job. And then also for the temporary benefits is thanking God for troubles. You know why? Troubles are temporary. Thanking God for sicknesses because sicknesses are temporary. Thanking God for tribulations because tribulations are temporary. Thanking God for the thorns in your life because thorns are temporary. It was George Matheson, a well-known blind preacher of Scotland, blind, who said, "My God, one day I never thank thee for my thorn. I never really thanked you for my blindness. I thank you 1,000 times for my roses, but I have never thanked you for my thorn. I have been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensation for all my crosses, and yet itself a present glory. Teach me the glory of my cross. Teach me the value of my thorn. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain. Show me that my tears have made my rainbow." Thanking God for physical infirmities, physical thorns that you have to deal with every day of your life. And many people do. But remember, they're only temporary. Even if whatever you have causes you to die, it's only temporary. Because the Bible promises we're getting a new body, right? It promises we're getting a body that can actually live and be in the presence of the glory of God. And see the glory of God. Remember, we will see him face to face. That's what the scripture tells us and gives us that promise. No matter what, even death cannot rob us of our thankfulness. And so what results from this kind of thanksgiving? Well, I think several things will result. God is honored. Revelation 4:9, it says, "And when the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever." God is honored when we are thankful. Also, there's a protection from sin when we are thankful. It will keep us from sinful places. Why? Because I must go where I can give thanks. And I can't give thanks where there is sin abounding and where people are going to drag me down in sin. But I can give thanks where that's not happening. And I think another thing is effective evangelism happens when we are thankful. When people see thankful people, they probably look at you and say, "What is wrong with you? You are always joyful. You are consistently thankful." Where all around you are crusty tempers and sour looks, and you look at life with thankfulness. Well, Romans 1:8 says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world." By being thankful, you are proclaiming your faith. And you are getting people's attention. Believing, being miserable does get people's attention, but not this way. Being thankful does get people's attention because they wonder, "What are you about? Like, what's going on in your life that makes you like this on a very consistent and regular basis? I can't take it. Tell me." Don't people respond like that today? I mean, you almost get shocked when there's a really good response with another person that you meet during the day. They said hi to you, or they talked with you for a few seconds, and you almost are like taken back. Whoa, they talked with me. So, see, effective evangelism happens when you are thankful. So to carry out this most delightful duty, and brethren, it is a most delightful duty. No person can give thanks always to God through Jesus Christ until they have a new heart. You can't give thanks this way until you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. No person can give thanks to God until they have a sense of God, until they have a realization that God is with them. As the psalmist tells us in Psalm 52:9, I will give you thanks forever because you have done it. And I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. They have a sense, he has a sense of God. I have a sense I'm living in the presence of God every day. I have a sense that God sees everything and knows all my thoughts. And in living there, why would I not be thankful to God when he knows all those things? No one can give thanks to God until they have a sense of complete reconciliation to God, that God is your friend and not your enemy. And no one can give thanks to God until they acknowledge Jesus Christ as the only way to be accepted by God. And no one can fully obey this command until self is dethroned. If you are living for you, you will not be thankful. You have to surrender yourself to the will of God. Lord, what do you want me to do, and what have I not been doing that I should be doing in my life? So I'm thankful. See, our prayer should be, God, save us from ever failing from this delightful duty. Lord, save us from falling into a murmuring spirit. Because a murmuring spirit is clearly not God's will at any time. Instead, we should speak much about what God has done, what God has given. In other words, be always in a state of thankfulness. See, how do you expound pray without ceasing? How do you expound in everything give thanks? How do you expound rejoice always? In a sense, they're a package in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. You may not know how to do a whole lot of things, but brethren, you can be thankful. There is no excuse for that. None. Not in the place we live in the world. Matter of fact, you may go to other places in the world, and if you have, you realize that those people may be more joyful and thankful there, and they have absolute physically nothing compared to what we have. And we have everything, and we're grumbling and complaining. And we can't get enough. We want more. Oh, we need to live lighter. We need to drop off some of the things that we have. We need to go someplace that we see it differently. See, this is God's will for you. In fact, the word here for will is actually the Greek word that means to wish or to desire. I could translate it like this. This is God's desire for you. To rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Or I can translate it, this would be my translation. This is my desire for you. This is my desire for myself, right? And it doesn't really take a brain surgeon, when you're examining yourself in this area, to find out, it will take just a few seconds to find out whether you've been thankful or not thankful, right? In fact, if you really are confused in that area, if you're married, just ask your spouse. If you're kids, ask your parents. If your parents, ask your kids. See, are you consistently thankful every day? Every day, are you? I pray that this exhortation, and that's what it was, will bring you to a place, wherever you're at, don't know, everyone here, wherever you're at, to examine yourself so you can say this: at least I know God's will in one area of my life. He wants me to be thankful always about everything. Amen? And if you leave with that, you left with the point. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that the Word of God can be so simple and so straightforward and so concise. We know, Lord, you are not the God who confuses matters. You are the God who makes matters clear. You are not the God who speaks in a dark corner, but you are the God who speaks on the rooftop. And Lord, for this, I am thankful and grateful. And I'm thankful and grateful for all who've come this morning. Bless their lives. And Lord, help them to carry out this good and beneficial and delightful duty. And I pray that they would reap the benefits of it. Honor to your name, effective evangelism, Lord, and protection from sin. We'll give you the praise for what you'll accomplish. And I ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand again.